Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a good day. Dak having a medical appointment tomorrow. They're going to evaluate after that. That is the latest. I know people are wondering. And Mike McCarthy said he would prefer Dak to have a full week of practice before he puts him in there. Stay tuned. I think tomorrow's going to be a big day. Maybe the grip strength will return all of a sudden, and we'll be talking about him playing against the Rams, but our insider, Brian Broaddus, would be highly surprised by that, wouldn't you?
I don't think he's going to play, Gavin, just to be honest with you, but, you know, to me, just talking to people after the game, Mike's telling you about the doctor's appointment, he's telling you about the, you know, having a full week of practice. I just don't think they're going to get the full week. I think next week would be the time when they get that full week of practice.
That is former Cowboy scout Brian Broaddus. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup. Woolchuck and Shea follower here. I'm Gavin Dawson. Carter Freeman coordinates your video. And you can watch us on YouTube and Twitch and at 105throughthefan.com. Jerry talking about the DC Dan Quinn last night. To me, that's clearly the number one reason this team is 3-1 right now. It's the quality of the defense. We have several branches on this topic tree. Here's Jerry on the DC.
I did something about that. I did something about Dan in the offseason. That's why we got him today. Okay, I did something about that. And I recognized that he was important in the offseason. And so that's, in other words, to answer your question, I don't have to say words. We did something about it. He's here.
How many more
and
zeros?
He didn't have to be here. And so we're glad to have him here. Obviously, and the players are playing because they feel a part of being a part of what he's started. You've got players like Lawrence, players like that. So there's nice chemistry going on here with his time with Kelvin.
But I mean, next year.
Again, that's next year. But I know this, that we've done as good a job of having him here as you can do.
I love Jerry saying, I don't need to say anything. I did something. And I felt like for years, Jerry's actions speak so much louder than words. And you can get so much closer to what the true story is if you just watch what he does instead of watching his lips move and try to decipher that. But I would say you got to keep doing something. Maybe they made him the top paid assistant in the NFL. I think Dan Quinn is so important here, and I know things are coming along well right now with the head coach in Mike McCarthy, but you tell him, we have a special group of players. You might have other chances to go be a head coach, but if you ride this out with Diggs and Parsons and whoever we continue to add to the mix, we have the foundation of a great defense. This could go 3 or 4 years, and you could become a Cowboys legend. You're still young enough you can be a head coach. But I need Jerry to continue to do something and keep writing the check and make him higher paid than any head coach in the NFL or a lot of head coaches in the NFL because he has constantly told us, oh, imagine the check I'll write to give us another Super Bowl. Well, now you have something so perfect with Dan Quinn. If you don't want to be the head coach, if you want to keep going with Mike McCarthy or Sean Payton, whatever, but you got to pay Dan Quinn to make sure he doesn't leave because I'm convinced this is a very important part of this equation, guys.
I love the idea of the reporter going, all right, it's week four, we're 3-1, we're rocking and rolling. Let me ask a question about replacing Dan Quinn right now. I'm like, who's the reporter that fired off that question?
Next year.
No, but we're talking about next year. Like, why are we doing it? Just got
I think it was Nui.
Can we get to friggin' Halloween?
No, it didn't sound like Nui. You think it was Nui?
I think they were talking about it. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn here, but I want to say that I heard Sean and RJ talking about it this morning.
Maybe it was.
And Bobby, I think Bobby Belt, maybe we'd reach out to Bobby and ask him that question. I'll say something real quick about this. Yeah, Jerry, Denver made a mistake. Denver was going to hire Dan Quinn. That was going to be their guy. George Payton, the general manager for Denver, was going to hire him. And he was planning on going to the Denver Broncos. The Broncos then, in turn, were going to get sold by the Bolin Family Trust. And they didn't want another defensive coach. Went for the offensive coach there.
How's that going?
John Fox and all. Yeah, exactly. You know, Dan Quinn, you're right. Jerry Jones stepped up. He's paying him like an NFL head coach right now. He is. There's no question. But you also, this team is different on defense, not only because of Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and AD and George Edwards and those guys, because Mike McCarthy hired a disaster in Mike Nolan.
Yeah.
You know,
can't let that happen again.
Yeah, got rid of it. But give Mike some credit for saying, okay, yeah, let's do this. You know, Dan Quinn became available because they had a bad half of a Super Bowl against the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Or all those guys would still be there coaching the Atlanta Falcons. But the draft gods smiled on them. Think about how they got Diggs in the second round.
Yep.
Think about how they got Micah Parsons in the first round there. People passing on him. I was on a Giants podcast and they were talking about, you know, about Micah Parsons and all that. And then like, you know, they should have drafted him. That was their, you know, that was their thought, you know, that like, hey, if I was on this, you know, I've talked to a bunch of people there about that. The draft gods smiling. Now the Cowboys were ready to make the pick. They did a great job of being ready to make the pick, but this defense has come together by some damn good fortune. Mm-hmm. Along the way. And I'm not saying that the Cowboys don't do their homework, but, you know, there's sometimes in coaches they don't do their homework. You know, they'll interview one, two guys, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, but this one did. This one fell in their lap. They took advantage of it, and they took advantage of two of their best players in the draft.
Well, they've had good players in the past. I mean, you had some bad defenses with D-Ware, you know. Yeah. You had Terrence Newman on the team. I think while the players did fall in your lap, Dan Quinn ties it together in a way. You can't let walk out the door.
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
I think that's it. I think you kind
of
have...
I think Dan Quinn would have walked if he was given the job.
Yeah, you can't risk that again.
I think you're right. I think he'd have taken the head coaching job in Denver, and I think the other thing there is... They also didn't have the Russell Wilson trade in place. They were maybe hoping they could get Aaron Rodgers.
For sure.
And then Nathaniel Hackett deal there was also, okay, maybe that makes the Rodgers thing more of a possibility. Then he ends up going back to Green Bay, so then they make the trade for Russell Wilson. But there's no salary cap on coaches, right? So you can try and money whip Dan Quinn as much as you want, but it's a perfect marriage. Dan Quinn is putting these players in a position to succeed. He's had an eye for talent to bring in a guy like Jayron Kearse, who we were all thinking, ooh, this is not that great of a player. He hasn't been awesome with the Lions.
George Edwards did a lot of good work with that one, too.
George Edwards, 100%. Yeah. He deserves a lot of credit.
He'd been with him in Minnesota, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Dan Quinn's done an excellent job with guys like Donovan Wilson, for example, and others putting them in position to succeed. But I think Will McClay and the staff have also hit home runs
with
some of their late-round guys. Donovan Wilson's another example of that in the sixth round. But also the way that they've built, and we're still talking about
Bland
some struggles.
Bland in the fifth. Yeah.
We're still talking about some struggles along the defensive line when it comes to stopping the run. But you're seeing more of these guys step up and be playmakers, whether it's Neville Gallimore had a good game yesterday. Quentin Bohanna, we got a good report today on the shoulder. Thank goodness. We were worried about that injury, but he's played really well. You know, you go down the list, Tristan Hill, all these guys, we talk about the depth on that side of the ball. It goes to drafting, developing, but also Dan Quinn's been the perfect guy to bring the best out of all these players.
Do you think he'd be this good if you made him head coach as DC?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because I saw what we remember when Mike McCarthy got COVID against the Saints.
Yeah.
In that game, we saw what Dan Quinn's capable of calling defenses and being the head coach.
Yeah. Well,
that's just me. I, and you know what?
Then I'd make him the head coach if that's what it takes.
I've been wrong about Mike McCarthy as far as where, you know, I thought Mike McCarthy was lazy. I think he wasn't always interested in being, you know, coach. You know, there was times there where I'm like, listen, you know, you're letting all these people just do things. And finally, I think he stepped up. Once Dak got hurt, he stepped up and said, listen, I'm going to get fired if I don't say something.
We're not going to pass the ball 50 times.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. Yeah. Right. And you know what? I applaud him for stepping up and doing these things.
He did.
But to me, like I said, you know, and Mike McCarthy has got a good record. He has a good record. I just felt like, though, the things I knew from him from Green Bay and the things I knew from the Cowboys, that he was not the right guy for the job.
And okay. We got a text from the 214, Jesus tapped the brakes. I don't think people understand what they're watching with this Cowboys defense right now. It's historically dominant, the first 4 weeks, what we're seeing. They have not done this since 1970 bleeping four, yeah. When they have not allowed more than 20 points to an opponent in the first 4 weeks of a season. They haven't allowed more than one touchdown to an opponent in the first four games of the season. Why can you not celebrate when you have something going right for your team? It's like you're crapping too much on the team. You're praising the team too much. We're going to crap on them when they're bad, but we're going to praise them when they're good. They deserve to be praised right now.
I think it's because it runs so counter to their narrative they're dug on that Jerry or Mike or Dak just aren't good enough. And they can't acknowledge something might be going so well that those factors could be mitigated in a way that could actually spell glory. I also think people are sick and tired of getting their hopes up after 26 years and then having the other shoe drop.
Yeah.
And if you never want to get excited or hope for your football team, that's kind of a sad existence. And we just saw the Bengals get there. Bengals not a good team. They went on a great run. They beat a bunch of playoff teams, and now
family run front office too.
Yeah, so it can happen, and I think the defense is a big part of it. Even Cooper Rush last night, they're the reason we're winning.
Exactly,
it's plain and simple. Carson Wentz was hit 11 times, two intentional grounding calls. I mean, it's not that big of a feather in your cap to make Carson Wentz look bad, but they made him look abnormally bad and weren't even really able to sack him that much, you know, just with the two sacks. But there is talk that this could be the best Cowboys team on defense in a half century, Brian. Compare and contrast to the team in the 90s.
Oh, man.
Which one are you taking?
I'll tell you what. Man, the team in the 90s was hard because I being at Green Bay and then in Philly and all that, I mean, It never stopped. Their offense got them a lead, and then they unleashed the pass rush, whether it's Charles Haley or any one of those guys. My favorite player, you know, talk about Darren Woodson. They just had so many players and playmakers that were involved. You know, playmaker, Deion Sanders. I mean, to me, those teams in the 90s on defense were as good as any defense that I've ever seen in my 13 years of scouting in the National Football League.
I mean, those Cowboys teams, once they added Deion and had Haley,
yeah.
I think I would rather have that defense with both of those guys.
Yep.
But before Deion in the first two, it was kind of a regular defense plus Haley, right?
They did a super job of having the rotations that, you know, with the players that, and they fit in so well. And they just never gave you, you couldn't run the ball on them, and especially you couldn't. And they get to the point where you couldn't run the ball because you're behind in the game. And then all of a sudden, they the way the pass rush got after you, the secondary, the safety play. This team is good on defense. Those Super Bowl teams were very impressive.
I think they could get there if they can shut down the run. And at 5 yards per attempt, that number's got to come down at least a little bit. 817, people aren't giving the defense enough praise because the offense isn't putting up 40. Therefore, the overall vibe isn't dominance, and they can't separate the two. I would agree with that.
What more do you want from me?
I'll tell you this, though. To me, that the defense, and Cooper Rush is right. You gained 2 yards a carry yesterday. You know, running the football. Your biggest plays were basically pass interference plays, but it got you in position.
Yeah.
Your kicker is out of his mind good right now.
Could have gone the other way very easily.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hell yes, it could have gone the other way very easily.
And some of the texts are like, they haven't played anybody. They held the Bucs with Tom Brady in that offense to 19 points. They put up 31 points last night to the Chiefs. You don't think that offense is any good? The Bengals, who have three of the best
Bowl
receivers in football,
yeah,
they held them to 17 points. You don't think that offense is any good with Joe Mixon? I get the Commanders and Giants. I 100% understand it. But just from what we've seen from the first 4 weeks, Nobody's putting them in the Super Bowl, guys. I understand it. We're not trying to overreact here. But from what we've seen, they deserve credit.
For sure. There's no question about it. I mean, if you go four games in a row without allowing 20 points, you're doing some pretty special stuff.
It's so damn hard to do in the NFL.
Yes. Now, to the running game stuff, John Owning, as of right now, Cowboys defense has allowed the most explosive running plays, which are 10 or more yards, and the highest explosive run percentage this season. So certainly something to clean up there. But otherwise, the defense has been spectacular, and they've done it in a way where it's a bunch of different guys stepping up. And so that's been really cool to see.
The first half, I think the Commanders ended up with 140-something yards. I think 100 of that was in the first half, and then the second half, they kind of tightened things down. They were much better when you watch the All-22 in the second half playing the run than they were the first, for sure.
This really started happening last year, though, late, where they got this pass rush together after Tank got healthy. And the reason that the text resonated with me so much is because I think he's right. The offense is frustrating, so you really can't separate the two. But they held the Saints to 17, and then the Commanders to 20, and then the Giants to 6, and the Commanders to 14. And, you know, Arizona beat them but had just 25 points. We saw throughout last year several games, the Vikings at 16 points earlier in the year, where teams just could not produce much offense. And I wonder when the narrative is going to flip. Like, sure, you know, if the offense can play well, that's great, but it's going to be the defense that is going to...
The turnovers.
Yeah.
The turnovers were big last year. You had one guy get 11 interceptions. I mean, the turnovers were huge. I mean, maybe they didn't have the... they've got the pressures. They got the sacks. They should... By the way, your corner who's playing great should have 4 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely should have.
Yep.
He had three. I mean, he had one for sure against the Giants. 2 others he dropped. He should be at 4 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting around the ball.
And that's one of the most encouraging things for me is they're not getting all the turnovers that they had last year, and they're still playing dominant football.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's huge.
Yeah. Tank said last night, more coming. You know, he says they feel like they're just scratching the surface.
That quarterback yesterday averaged 4 yards of completion.
Yeah, he threw the ball 42 times. He had 170 yards. And
4 yards of completion. Think about that.
You have that punt that landed, what, the 28?
Yeah, he kicked it 22 yards. Guy punted. The Pro Bowl punter, he'd been punting it all day, 55, 58, whatever. That one went 22 yards. You give it the ball on the 28-yard line. Yeah, they go for it on fourth down, but you get off the field on fourth down. No points. Come on.
Okay, how about the 469? Please shut the bleep up about these meaningless wins.
You need to get to the playoffs first before you can win 3 playoff games in a row. Right, you can't just skip the meaningless wins. You got to play the regular season. They're not meaningless. It's not the preseason, 469.
We got 2 playoff games coming up.
Yeah, we do. 2 playoff opponents for sure, Rams and Eagles. Both these on the road.
And I do understand the cynical Cowboy fans saying, hey, I see these guys beat up on bad teams, you know, year in, year out. Let's see him do it against some teams that are really bringing it.
100%. We saw this last year. They started 6-7-1 last year, and then they tanked.
Now the defense is better, and they're actually running the ball and doing play action. Last year's offensive philosophy was flawed in a major way. Now the coaching on offense is better. The defense is even better. I think the special teams
are better.
You have to give this team a clean slate. Yes, the special teams are better. You have to let them see if they can do it and not hold them to the sins of, you know, mistakes of the past. We got to run. Chris Young's going to join you next here in the G-Bag Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.